We want to not just read words, but we want you to speak to us, Lord. Teach us how things work from your perspective. So that we can follow you rightly. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Following on from where we got to in Romans chapter 2, there is a lengthy portion of scripture to read this morning. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 2 from verse 11 through to the end of Romans chapter 2.
Romana tuk faru de nendin fara kambe fulatan em faran san. Fats mis visa antava lula am nandremant. Faisaina nut tsnananan lalan. Ateu verits mananan lalan. Faisaina nut ananan lalanakus. Ateu tsarain arakan lalan. Fats misi pandren lalana. Fats n pandren lalana nu marne wanatria nandremant. Fan pakatun lalana nu amarin. Fanaovina naovina ireo jentilisa tsy manana ny lalana ireo no misy manao izay nandidiny lalana araka ny naimpony na dia tsy manana ny lalana azy ireo dia lalana tenany ihany fa ireo maneho ny asan'ny lalana ho voasoratra ao ampony sady ny fieritreretany no vavolombelony ary ny fisainany mifampiampanga nefa mba mifanavaka ihany koa azy amin'ny andro izay hitsaran'Andriamanitra ny zavatra takona ataon'ny olona araka ny filazantsarako amin'ny alalan'i Jesosy Kristy fa raha saingy atao hoe jiosy ianao ka mitoky amin'ny lalàna sy manao an'Andriamanitra ho reharehanao ary mahalala ny sitrapony sady mamantatra ny zavatra tsara indrindra satria efa nampianarina ny lalàna ianao ary matoky ny tenanao ho mpitarika ny jamba fanazavana ny ao amin'ny maiziny mpananatra ny adala mpampianatra ny bodo satria ianao manana ny lalàna ho mariky ny fahalalana sy ny fahamarinana ka moa ianao izay mampianatra ny sasany tsy mba mampianatra ny tenanao koa va ianao izay mitory hoe aza mangalatra mba mangalatra ihany va ianao ianao izay manao hoe aza mijangajanga mba mijangajanga ihany va ianao ianao izay mameta vetany sampy mba mandroba tempoly ihany va ianao ianao izay manao ny lalàna ho reharehanao mba manala voninahitra an'Andriamanitra ihany va ianao amin'ny andikanao ny lalàna fa araka ny voasoratra dia ianareo no hitenenana ratsy ny anaran'Andriamanitra any amin'ny jentilisa fa ny famorana mahasotokoa raha mankato ny lalàna ianao fa raha mpandika ny lalàna kosa ianao dia efa tonga toy ny tsy voafory na dia efa voafory azy ary raha mankatoa ny fitsipiky ny lalàna sy ny tsy voafory tsy atao ho isan'ny voafora va izy na dia tsy voafora azy ary tsy ho eloina ary tsy ho eloin'ny tsy mifora izay mankatoa ny lalàna va ianao izay mpandika ny lalàna na dia manana ny soratra sy ny famorana azy ianao fa tsy izay araka ny miseho ny jiosy ary tsy izay miseho eo amin'ny nofo no famorana fa izay araka ny miafina ny jiosy ary ny famorana dia amin'ny fo amin'ny fanahy fa tsy amin'ny soratra ny fiderana ireny tsy avy amin'ny olona fa avy amin'Andriamanitra.
This is a challenging passage of scripture.
Tena andala tsoratra masina manome fanamby mihitsy ity.
And as we go through it, you read a lot about Jews. And Paul is writing to them to say to them, you're a religious people. You brag about having the law. You also rely on the law. But you break the law.
And
so you're not living up to the law, but you're condemning other people for also not living up to the law.
And he gets
to a very violent statement. He says to them in verse 24, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The very people of God, the ones who think they're aligned with God, and he says that God's name is blasphemed amongst the ungodly. Because of you. Now, what if you put that into our context? Rather than Jew and Gentile, you've got the God-aligned people and the people who aren't really following God. Who are the God-aligned people around in our society?
Well,
it's easy to identify the others. The Gentiles, the pagans, the ones against God. They're mostly the guys that just don't go to church. They get drunk, they steal. But guess who's blaspheming the name of God? Ones who claim to know God, ones who claim to be with Him. So the religious ones. So we have to look to the church for the God-aligned people, the ones that might be blaspheming His name amongst the Gentiles. You see, firstly, I want to propose to you that there are two kinds of religion. When Paul writes chapter 2 of Romans, he writes a whole chapter to the religious people.
The people
who say they know something about God.
When
I read some old books, I read a guy by the name of J.C. Ryle. He was a bishop in a town in England called Liverpool. In the 1800s. So he died long before I was born. And when I read his book, he always talks about religion as something noble, something worthy.
So in that time,
religion must have been alive in some way. There must have been some reason why he considered it good. But today, there are many modern churches, and they talk about religion as if it's a bad thing. What they're talking about is the ritualistic ceremonial repetition
The thing that has a form,
it appears to be godliness, but it's actually powerless, it's empty. And so you get good and bad religion.
fomba fivavahana tsara sy ratsy.
And I want to put it to you that it's not a new concept.
De tiko tenena aminareo ilay izao tsy hoe zava-baovao akory izany.
Religion wasn't good in the 1800s and now it's bad.
Tsy hoe akory hoe tsara ny fomba fivavahana tamin'ny tany amin'ny taona 1800 tany dia amin'izao fotoana izao ratsy.
There's always been good and bad religion.
Fa misy foana ilay fomba fivavahana ratsy sy tsara.
And just being Christianity doesn't make it good religion. James said in James 1 verse
27,
he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. I'll repeat that sentence. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, and then he defines
it.
To look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Look after orphans and widows. Keep yourself pure. So there must be a good and bad religion. Because James says, this is the kind of religion the Father accepts. There's another kind of religion that the Father despises. And his name is blasphemed by those religious people. You could be one of them. Maybe you are blaspheming God's name amongst the Gentiles and you think you're a religious, holy person.
We
have to figure out how that works. Because it's possible for any person who says, I'm aligned with God, I call myself a Christian. I go to church. I do all those things. It could be just like a Jew obeying the law. And it's dead at its center. In its heart, it's dead. So there's signs that you're a religious person. In verse 22, you say that people should not commit adultery, but do you? Meaning, you still do. You abhor idols and yet you rob temples. You brag about the law, but you dishonor God by breaking the law. One of the key things about religious people is hypocrisy. They project an appearance of holiness. They want people to think they're good. They're very proud of their morality and their status in society. But actually, like everybody, they still sin. They fail to uphold the law. And this was the problem. It was the problem with everyone, including the Jews who tried their best. They failed to uphold the law. But they pretended that they were so good. How did that blaspheme God's name? What happens when you put on a holy facade and you say, I'm a really good person? The Gentile world looks and they see through your facade. Because maybe it's your next door neighbor. And they see you going to church every Sunday. But then in the week they hear you fighting. And they hear you swearing. And they hear the story about how, you know, the rumor about you that you stole money at work. It gets a bit complicated because you can try and put up a better
act.
In other words, when you steal, just get better at stealing.
So
no one catches you.
I'm set start.
And when you fight with your wife, you know, you've got to shout in her ear, I hate you. You know, so the neighbor can't hear your fight. Because that way you'll keep up your respectable appearance. But if they see through it and realize it's just a pretense, the world says hypocrite. But what people do is that very thing. They try harder to manage appearances. They put on fancy clothes on a Sunday. They decorate the church so they can be proud of how religious it looks. They start to develop all this religious form and religious terminology.
We
get all our deacons the same clothes. We'll make them look holy.
Get
our priest an even better outfit. We'll make him look important. He must be closer to God. Look at his flowing robes. And we create all these external things. And nothing changes at the heart level. We just put on a better and a better show. You could actually say there's three kinds of churches that represent this mistake. There are legalistic churches. And we make detailed codes of conduct. What to believe, how to dress, how to behave. And we preach the word of God as if it's a whip. It's like we're strong on the word. We'll teach tithing as a law. We'll make purity into such an idol that no one will ever confess their sin. And we'll beat the world with scriptures. If they come near us, we'll hit them with a Bible verse. And your pastor will walk around like, I'm a man of the word. You'll have to have a bigger Bible than mine. Vivian's ones, yeah. Okay, you guys must put more money in the offering for more batteries. Take a battery offering. So that's one kind of church that builds like that. We think we'll be accepted by God because of our doctrine being so good. And we look down on the liberals and the other churches that are having too much fun. And the world thinks, I don't want to be part of that. You're
going
to force me to be just like you. You're
going
to give me all these rules to follow. So there's another kind of church. And that church puts the emphasis on miracles and signs and wonders. And the members want to have powerful emotional experiences. And they rely on their feelings. Or some dramatic answer to a prayer. And for them, that's how they feel God is with them. So if the Spirit isn't moving, we'll make Him move. We'll be here long enough until He does a miracle. And if you won't fall down under the power of God, I'm going to push you down. Because when we've got the power of God and the signs, the wonders, we feel now we've got God. So for the legalistic church, doctrine or good doctrine equals righteousness. They're always teachy and tell you what to do. For the power church, great emotion equals righteousness. And there's a third kind of church. And they we could call like the priestly church. And they put emphasis on ritual and tradition. And guilt-ridden, people who feel guilty. Their therapy is the beauty and of the music and the architecture. I saw this church in Antsirabe. It has the most magnificent stained glass windows. It has a huge structure, marble arches. Stone arches. You walk in there and you feel like you're supposed to kneel somewhere. But it's an anesthetic. It puts you to sleep. With all the grandeur and the mystery of the ceremony. In that place, your liturgy equals your righteousness. We're important because we follow the order of ceremony. We're godly because we've got a little book that tells us exactly what comes next. In various ways, the problem with any of these situations is they are a show. None of those things makes us holy. So this is not a less holy church because we're on a cement floor. The level of our connection with God is between you and God and between me and God. And so when the world looks at these other things, unsaved people are often very wise, they're very clever. They say, I don't buy into that. I don't believe that. I think those are fake miracles. I think you're just trying to put laws on me. Blake was at a motorbike shop this week. Because he needs transport. And he meets a French guy who's selling motorbikes. And he asks the guy if he has a kind of faith in God. And the guy says he has a belief in God, but he doesn't want to go to the church. Because he's heard what those guys say. They say, Jesus will fix all your problems. And he says, that's a con, that's a trick, because that won't happen. It's a lie. Now, you know what the truth is? The message that Jesus will fix all your problems isn't in the Bible. And that Gentile sinner is cleverer than all the guys going to church. That spout nonsense about Jesus taking away all your problems. Since I came to Jesus, I had more problems. Because he said, you can't carry on sinning. And I could no longer live an undisciplined life. I had to live a holy life. But I had his presence and his acceptance and his love. I've had an immeasurably better life. But you know what someone clever said? God's committed to our holiness, not our happiness.
And
like a good parent, he disciplines those he loves. So sometimes it's not easy. But when the church says, come to Jesus, he'll give you money and he'll give you health and he'll make you happy. That deceptive marketing strategy, when the Gentiles see through it, God's name is blasphemed. So, my last point. What Paul wants the Romans to get. What we need to get. Is that a good religion is an inside-out religion. Where We can't play a religious game. We need to have a new heart and become a new community that's not dressed up in religious form, we're not pretending to be holy, we're not projecting an image of invulnerability. But rather, we're actually not judgmental anymore. We're able to discern right from wrong. But when we see wrong, we rather than condemning the person, we're humbled because we know that we too are guilty of sin. So we don't have to pretend to be perfect and demand that other people are perfect. We're rather more like Jesus, full of grace and truth. So we call sin sin, but we don't condemn sinners. We don't have to be judgmental. That's where Romans 2 started. Instead, we can be truth proclaimers, but grace bringers, because we ourselves have received grace. And so we don't have to pretend to be anything that we are not. And this builds a healing community. Because now we say to the world, we are what we are. We're not perfect. We don't put up a facade. We're real people who have encountered the love of God and His grace revealed in the gospel. We've received His mercy and we bring mercy to others, and not just, oh, we'll look the other way and accept your sins, but no, we speak the truth in love and we say that there is a gospel that has the power to break sin. And therein is a message of hope. Imperfect people can join us. And we don't condemn their imperfection. We don't reject them. We work together to become more holy and more like Jesus. All the time knowing that our acceptance is based on Jesus. It's an incredible freedom that you no longer have to pretend. So you sitting in this room should be one of the happiest believers in a community that accepts you for who you are and then walks with you to become who Jesus wants you to be. And if you come to me and you say, Kim, I've sinned, I've messed up, I'll say, oh, you also. See, it won't first be judgment, because I'm just like you. Vulnerable, broken, Being healed in the love of God.
Fanostranana tamin'ny alalan'ny fitiavan'Andriamanitra.
Learning how to follow Jesus.
Ary mianatra manaraka an'i Jesosy.
Doing what I can do.
Manao izay azoko atao.
But leaning upon the grace of God.
Fametehatra kosa amin'ny fahasoavan'Andriamanitra.
Not playing a religious game.
Fa tsy manao fomba mpivavahana hoe izay no ataoko kilalao.
Romans 2 is important for us as a church.
Ny Romanina 2:5 dia zava-dehibe ho antsika mahafiangonana antsika.
Because we must never become puffed up and proud of who we are.
Satria tsika tsy tokony mihitsy andeha hiheboebo sy hizesizesy tamin'ny maha hoe mahaisikatsika.
We must be reaching out to gather others into this community.
Fa mila kosa tsika mandeha manatratra ny hafa ho angonintsika ho ato anatin'ity fiarahamonina ity.
And when they say no, the church is just religion.
Ka raha mitendry ny fiangonana fombafomba mpivavahana fotsiny.
You say not us.
Dia ozy izy ianao tsy izahay izany.
Not
TCC.
You come here. You grow in God. You grow in grace. You don't have to put on facades. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your gospel. We need to know this good news. That it's your power. Your grace, your goodness that saves us. Help us to see how things are more clearly. Not to be fooled by religious form, religious trappings, clothing and things. We don't want to hide your church behind a facade that appears so good. And we don't want to hide our own lives behind a religious facade. We want to come to you by the grace of God. By the way of the cross. By the blood of Jesus. And not on any other terms. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.